That leads us to our passage here today in Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 45. And in this passage, we begin to see the full blossom of her faith. This is a technical term that describes just these verses here in verse 6. This is called the visitation. This is where two mothers meet each other for the very first time. They're both pregnant. Elizabeth, she's older. Both the pregnancies were surprises. Elizabeth, because of her age, and Mary, because, of course, she was not married at this moment. But even more important with this visitation is that two individuals are meeting for the very first time. John the Baptist and Jesus Christ. When Mary has this time with Elizabeth, this is when her faith really develops in an amazing way, and she leans into the Lord completely. And she sings this beautiful song called the Magnificat. We didn't read it here this morning, but the Magnificat is about her whole self, mind, body, and soul being given to the Lord. So she says those things. My soul glorifies in the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. And her mind completely accepts what God's plan truly is. Mary, the mother of Jesus, the amazing thing in Luke 1 is that she goes from a skeptic, how will this be, to someone who gives her full passion, her mind, soul, and spirit to the Lord's plan for her life. There's two kinds of skeptics in the world. There are those who are skeptical, but they really have a closed heart. They don't want to be moved by the Lord. They offer questions just to trap the Lord. But then there are people like Mary who are skeptical but offer questions and lean into the Lord and are willing to be moved by what the Lord might do in their life. Well, what does all this mean for us today, heading into Christmas? My friends, you are like Mary. God wants to come and reside in your heart. Christmas isn't just about Jesus residing in the heart of a woman that lived 2,000 years ago. It's about Jesus residing in our own hearts. In fact, I don't know if you caught this when we were singing the song. Bob was singing it, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Take a look at verse 4 again if you have an opportunity. The author writes this hymn not so much to talk about what happened 2,000 years ago. He wants to challenge his singers and his readers. Here's how the fourth verse begins. O little town of Bethlehem, here's how it goes. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend on us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. My friends, Christmas is about Jesus coming into our own hearts. Where are you today? Are you relating to Mary with the skeptical thoughts? That's okay. Are you someone who does have doubts? That's fine too. Are you someone with full-bloomed faith heading into Christmas? That's fine too. But what we all need to do is lean into the Lord no matter where we are and allow him to enter us. Allow him to enter us and allow ourselves to be a part of God's plan. God blesses abundantly when we do that. There's an old fable, a story that's been passed down from generations from Christian to Christian, and it goes like this. I wanted to share it with you this morning. There was a king that went out to meet all the villagers that were in his town. And as he went out, there was a beggar on the side of the street. And the beggar put out his bowl to the king and asked the king, please put something in my bowl. If anyone would give money, certainly it'd be the king. The king did something very surprising. He flipped it. Instead, the king asked the beggar to give him something. The beggar didn't know what to do. He reached down into his pocket and pulled out 3 grains of rice and just dropped them into the king's outstretched hand. Later that evening, the beggar went home and dumped out everything that he had received from everyone who had shared monies and coins and so forth. And to his amazement, 3 gold pieces, 3 small gold pieces three pieces of gold that were the size of a grain of rice came out onto his table. And the beggar said this, "Oh, I should have given the king everything. I would have gotten so much more." Now, isn't that truly the story of Mary? She was willing to give everything that she had, the little that she had. And she was blessed, ultimately, because of it. If you look at verse 42 and verse 45, that word is said of Mary. She had very little, but she was blessed. And the gospel writer actually uses two different words for blessing. English doesn't pick this up. In verse 42, the Greek word is makarios, which means privileged and fortunate. Mary is privileged and fortunate. And then in verse 45, a different word for blessing is used, which is oilageo, which means to be praised, to be extolled by others. It's as if the gospel writer is saying is that this woman who had very little, she had skepticism, she had doubts, she had questions about what God was doing. Because she leaned into God, she received everything. Fortune. Privilege, favored position, being praised by generation after generation. My friends, as you receive the body and blood of Jesus today, God wants to do a similar thing. You may not have much to give. Time, you may only have three small pieces of time to give to the Lord. Talents, you may only have a little to give. Treasure, you may only have a little to give. You may only have sin to offer the Lord. You may be living with doubts and skepticism. But when you lean into the Lord, God richly and abundantly blesses you with everything that he has, which is eternal life, which is his love, which is peace. God is always at work, always at work, pursuing us, wanting to share his love with us. God is at work when we live in skepticism and we're not sure what the future holds. God is at work, pursuing us, wanting to share his love. God is at work when we half-heartedly accept his plan for our lives. He still pursues us. He did with Mary. God is also at work when we have full-blown faith. He still pursues us and loves us. God never gives up on us. No matter where you are heading into Christmas, whether it be skepticism or doubt or fear or trepidation, make sure that you go forward with an open heart, as Mary did, for God's plan in your life. Amen. We pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this model of Mary. She's someone that we can relate with because we all have our questions about things. We all have our doubts even about the things in life that we see. We have questions about the future that is ahead of us. We relate with Mary. Lord, we thank you for how you stuck with Mary, that she ultimately followed through on the plan. We pray, Lord, that we would respond like Mary and be open to the plan that you have for us this year. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.